Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY21 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q1 FY21 earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will start with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the call for Q&A. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard has been placed in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join our call. The earnings for the first quarter of financial year 2020-21 were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, 5th August 2020. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. We commenced Q1 in the midst of the nationwide lockdown from March 25th. In the early days of the lockdown, efforts were focused on safety and well-being of employees, ensuring business continuity and a seamless transition to the work-from-home mode for various departments of the organization. Simultaneously, there was emphasis on securing goods in transit, safety of assets and inventory at our plants and warehouses, and ensuring that all our business partners, distributors, vendors, service providers were safe and in a stable position. Upon partial easing of lockdown restrictions, we resumed operations at our plant at Kadi on 5th May 2020, which was 35 days into the quarter. In the first few days of resumption, we operated a single shift of 8 hours at the plant, despite requisite labor at our sanitaryware and faucetware facilities. Post-implementation of revised SOPs, which were spelled out in detail in an earlier communication to the stock exchanges. Due to this, the effective utilization in May 2020, even after restarting of operations, was around 30%. In June, the authorities permitted ramping up of shifts from one 8-hour shift to one 12-hour shift. Along with a slight increase in employees on the shop floor, the increase in duration of the shift led to increase in utilization to 60% for the month of June. From the month of July, we were permitted to revert to our earlier structure of three shifts of 8 hours each, and this has enabled utilization to improve further to 80% for most of our facilities. The tile manufacturing JV, which is called ATL at Andhra Pradesh, is to recommence production in August. Even as we are currently at 80% of pre-COVID activity, the shutdown and process to ramp up has significantly impacted activity in Q1. Effective working days in the quarter were 91 minus 35, which were 56 days. And given the suboptimal utilization up to early June, we had meaningful operations only for 20 to 25 days in the entire quarter. We believe that the inherent resilience of the business has shown through this quarter. Even as production was impacted to the tune of 70%, we have witnessed reduced sales of only 46%, which was largely serviced through inventory of finished goods. The silver lining has been the exponential growth that we have witnessed in product lines of touch-free sensor-based hands-free products, water-saving products, and nano-coated antimicrobial products that offer enhanced safety and hygiene. Cera has launched additional elbow-operated and foot-operated faucets this quarter, along with sensor-based faucets. We have introduced plug-and-play type of smart installation of sanitaryware products for consumers who choose to adopt do-it-yourself installation procedures. From volumes of approximately 100 faucets per month, of touch-free products in the pre-COVID period to about 6,000 faucets monthly currently. Requisite external certification for sanitaryware by APMO India, for faucetware by WEPI, and for sanitaryware and faucetware, the globally used CE certification. In that backdrop, I will walk you through the financial performance. For Q1 FY21, the revenue for the quarter stood at 143 crores versus 267 crores in Q1 FY20. So not comparable, registering a 46% Y decline. For Q1 FY21, 51% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 29% from faucetware, tiles represented 17%, and wellness 3%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered a decline of 47%, faucetware revenues declined by 39%, tiles declined by 53%, and wellness declined by 58%. EBITDA, excluding other income for Q1 FY21, was 6.64 crores versus 35.2 crores in Q1 FY20. The EBITDA margin for Q1 FY21 stood at 4.66%, lower by 851 basis points. Profit after tax for Q1 FY21, 2.9 crores against YOY number of 19.1 crores. EPS for Q1 was 2.24 versus 14.67 in Q1 F1 19-20. Inventory days in Q1 FY21 were 59.83 days compared to 52.85 days in Q1 FY20. Receivable days in Q1 FY21 were 51.36 days versus 55.45 days. Payable days in Q1 were 31.79 days against 25.56 days in Q1 of FY20. Therefore, net working capital days in Q1 FY21 was 79.40 days versus 82.74 days in Q1 of FY20. As India prepares for lockdown 2.0, industry expects a gradual rebound. I am now ongoing tussle with COVID-19. Our business fundamentals remain intact and we are cautiously optimistic about our prospects once the macroeconomic environment stabilizes. Our confidence is predicated on five pillars. These are number one, manufacturing excellence. Over the last 7 years, manufacturing capabilities at our own facilities have been significantly upgraded with the introduction of a fully automated pressure casting of sanitaryware products, industry first. B, robotic antibacterial glazing of sanitaryware. C, automated grinding, polishing, adding, and electroplating of faucetware. Some of these processes have assumed greater importance in view of COVID-19. Over the years, we have judiciously developed the right balance of outsourcing and in-house manufacturing. We believe our facilities are best used for complex products such as wall-hung WCs, tabletop basins, and one-piece flow-standing WCs. Leverage our facilities for higher value and consciously avoid reliance on such imports. Point number two, judicious use of capital. Over the last few years, annual capex has been contained within a band of 55 crores to rupees 70 crores, despite annual cash flow of between rupees 125 crores to between and 145 crores each year. This year, our planned capex is 21.82 crores this year, indicating flexibility model. This has enabled us to solidify our financial position each year, enabling us to incrementally enhance our liquid reserves, which now stands at 268 crores as of June 2020. Point number three, keen and efficient operations. We have opted for just-in-time arrangements with vendors and adhere to payment schedules to maximize cash discounts and other regular incentives for on-time payments. Further, we have established localized warehousing locations to rapidly serve the markets and efficiently manage finished goods inventory. There is a concerted focus on managing receivables within a comfortable range, and we encourage our customers to allow us to work with them on schedules which are smaller dispatches of products closely aligned to the requirements, enabling faster and smaller billing cycles and receivable management, as well as a wide and expanding selection of touch-free products, anti-bacterial glazed products in our portfolio, as shared in detail earlier. Fourth, higher demand from replacement and retrofitting market. We are well poised to benefit from the trend in the replacement market of faucets, products which are easy to install and touch-free to operate. Hospitality products are ready to retrofit entire hotels with touch-free products, and Cera is working on these themes. Sanitary ware and faucets remain our core focus area, and we are confident of the prospects on a sustained basis. The tile business is more of an outsourced business with less capital employed on production than on working capital. However, with reduced capacity available in tiles across the industry, we are witnessing early signs of pricing power beginning to return to the business. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Achal Lohande from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was with respect to the gross margins. We see that the gross margins have come off by almost 5 percentage point YOY. So, can you please explain as to what has driven this gross margin reduction? Is there any adjustment with respect to the discounts, or is it just a product mix?
So you see, 20% of our overall costs are fixed costs and 80% are variable costs. Of that 20% was spread over a smaller sales base, that number became 30% this quarter. That was the only reason for change in operating margin.
No, actually I was asking about the gross margin. I suppose the fixed cost will have impact on the inventory valuation rather than really the manufactured product sales. Is that the outsourcing mix was higher in this quarter, or lower margin, relatively lower margin product mix was higher?
I can give you the product mix. One second. Have the data with us. For sanitary ware, we had 41% of our sales of entry-level products, 13% of mid-level, and 46% of premium. So this is slightly different from what you would have seen in the last four quarters, because that same number was 37, 12, and 50 in the last four quarters. And for faucet ware, 2% of our sales were 53 was premium. For the last four quarters.
I'm not able to hear you clearly, sir. Could you please repeat the faucet mix?
Faucet was entry level product 30% of sales, mid level was 15, and premium was 53. If you compare that to the previous four quarters, that number was 32, 19, and 49. And if you combine sanitary ware and faucet ware on a weighted average basis, 37% of the products were entry level, 14 were mid level, and 49 were premium level, compared to 35, 15, and 50 of the previous four quarters.
So, is it that the gross margin for the entry level is substantially lower than the premium? Because I see just the mix, only 2 percentage point change in that mix.
It's not substantially lower. But just the cost base, the slight is in the cost base. If you see the breakup of other expenses compare it YOY, the decline has not been in the same percentage as the decline in sales on some of the items.
I guess that explains the operating margin, the EBITDA margin
right.
part. But the gross margin part, is it to do with the mix in the outsourcing versus in-house? Would you have that mix handy?
Yes, I have that mix. For sanitary wear, outsourcing was 53%, manufactured was 47%.
Okay.
Sanitary wear with outsourcing was 50.64 and domestic was, own manufacture was 49.36.
This is for 1Q FY20 you're talking about for sanitary wear?
That's right.
Okay. And how about faucet?
Faucet was also Q1 2021. 50.64 was outsourced. 49.36 was own manufacture.
Okay.
And if you want to compare that to last year, one second, give you the number.
Excuse me, sir. Does that answer your question?
No, one second. For the same period, outsourced was 51.55 and manufactured was 49.33.
Okay.
And faucet were manufactured, outsourced was 55.41, manufactured was 44.59.
55.41 is for the current quarter, 1QFY21?
The same period last year.
Okay. Okay. So got it. And my second question was, we see that the other income seems to have jumped on a QOQ basis or YOY basis. Is there any exceptional item here which we need to be
It is just as per Ind AS guidelines on M2M of the cash and cash equivalents portfolio. So if you look at our portfolio, there will be some of them are in SBI FDs, some in NHAI bonds, PFC bonds, AAA rated, and a lot of them are in AAA liquid funds. So there was an M2M gain on the AAA liquid funds. So according to Ind AS guidelines, we have done the M2M marking at the end of every quarter.
Got it. And with respect to, you know, we see there is significant variation in the gross margin on a quarterly basis given the variables with respect to mix or the product mix, etc. If I were to ask, you know, theoretically, if we were like 80% or 90% level of last year, would we look at the gross, you know, the EBITDA margin similar, or you think there is a significant risk to the operating margin?
Here, we have basically incurred costs for 90 days and revenues for 20, 25 days is what has happened in this quarter.
Right.
And only in July have we reached 80% of last year's production and about 90-95% of last year's sales.
Right.
So, we'll know in Q2 if that persists and we reach 100% of sales and production reaches 95% or 100%. So, we'll know the difference in this quarter.
Understood. But let's say theoretically, if this 90-95% level to be sustained for rest of the year, would the operating margin be in a similar range of 13-14% what we have been having?
Operating margins should improve because all the raw material prices have declined, gas prices have declined. There has been renegotiation of contracts for rentals of warehouses, for our display centers. Fixed costs over the year will decline at least 10 crores just on the rentals and renegotiation of rental contracts.
Got it. Great. I'll come back in the queue for other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Sir, you said we have 53% outsourced from sanitaryware. So these numbers were similar in last few years and it has been increased significantly because I guess it was about 30-35%.
Last 6 quarters has been between 47% and 52%.
Okay. So otherwise in the past years in FY19-20, how it has been?
Similar, around 50%.
And also, what is your sales and advertising expenses in this quarter and what is the outlook for the rest of the year? Because it has been around 9% for the on sales numbers. So, what is your strategy for this year?
Normally, we split that 9.5% into two heads. So, publicity is normally 4% of top line. Last year, that number was 10.75 crores. This year that number was 4.18 crores. And then the balance 5.5% is sales and marketing expenses, which includes a lot of dealer schemes, foreign trip incentives, etc. Last year that number was 19.91 crores. This year that number was 10.8 crores. So normally at any given 12-month period, you'll find that number is 9.5% split into these two heads. Okay. But currently, obviously, given the slow sales, etc., we had curtailed that expense, especially on the publicity side. So okay. We are yet to take a full call on whether we'll be using that 4% budget for the year.
So what was the absolute number you said, publicity for this quarter?
4.18 crores.
4.18 crores versus last year, same quarter?
10.75 crore.
And this incentive is 10.8 crore
versus 19.91 crore.
19.9. Okay. Okay, sir. And also, if you could give what was the reason why is breakup and how you see the number like Tier 1, Tier 2 cities, I think in the interview you said that we have 70%, more than 70% revenue coming from Tier 3 and below cities this time. So how you see going forward these numbers?
Yeah, I'll just give you that breakup. Normally our Tier 1 sales are about 23.5%, 32-35%. This quarter it was 23.59%.
Okay.
Tier 2 is normally 13-15%. This time it was 10.21%. And Tier 3 is 52-55%. This time it was 64-65%.
Okay. So how do you see the rest of the year?
Tier 1 markets were pretty much shut for the entire quarter.
Mm.
So those markets were very non-operational. Even now there have been sporadic opening and reshutting, etc. Tier 3 markets had the least impact of COVID-19. And Tier 3 markets don't depend on external financing for projects. And our penetration and our dealers' penetration in these markets have been traditionally the highest. Our influencers who are in regular contact with our dealers, our plumbing contractors, all have made deep inroads in these markets traditionally. So, and these markets are also buyers of high-end products. So we concentrate a lot of activities in Tier 3 markets. So going forward, we'll be happy to maintain any number above 55.
Sir, Mumbai dealers are still not operating because I checked most of the dealers are still closed. So is it?
Yeah, Pune dealers had opened sometime in July, then they shut down again. Similarly, Bombay, some dealers had opened for a few days, then they shut down again. So they were having problems of getting requisite staff to attend their showrooms, etc.
What about Delhi and Chennai region?
Delhi and Chennai region, I won't be able to give you anecdotal information. Delhi again had opened for a period in time. Our sales in Delhi and Chennai are not so significant.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaspreet Singh Arora from Equentis PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Just carrying on with the previous data you gave. So Tier 3 has gone up. Contribution to revenue has gone up from 53% to 63%, right?
Right.
So can that be also a factor to a drop in gross margin? Because I presume the purchasing power, the margins that you might get in a Bombay, Delhi, Chennai may be better. Is that correct or no?
In fact, there is lesser price negotiation in Tier 3 markets.
Okay.
In Tier 3 markets, the company is represented via dealers, not through direct sales offices. Only where the company's sales offices are present is there scope for any price negotiation.
Okay.
The dealers may negotiate prices with consumers or with projects by sacrificing their own margins.
Okay. So when you sell via dealers, it's better for you, you're saying, in terms of margins?
In terms of margins, and Tier 3 markets are not buyers only of affordable housing products.
Yes.
They are buyers of all sorts of premium and luxury products.
So that means that a Tier 3 segment should fetch you better margins in terms of gross margins if one were to take it, right?
Not only better margins, but less competition because most MNCs are not present in Tier 3 markets.
Right.
All MNCs are present in all Tier 1 markets.
Got it. Got it. Got it. So this is largely the jump has happened is largely a function of the fact that the number of shops and establishments were open far higher in percentage terms in 3, right? And not necessarily and also the fact that the COVID was not as much.
That's right.
Disrupting there, right?
That's correct.
Sure. Sure. So, okay. So, the next question, sir, is in terms of, I understand, May was, sorry, April was a washout. How was, and I'm sorry if you have to repeat this. I missed the initial 2 minutes of your opening remarks. So April was a washout, right? So how was May and June, if you could break it up in terms of?
May, the production levels and the factory operating, in terms of capacity was 30% of last year.
Okay. Okay.
June got up to 80%.
Oh. And July, did you mention 90%-90%?
Sales in May were about 55%-60% of last year. Sales in June were about 85% of last year.
Okay.
July is about 95% of sales. July, in any case, all three shifts of 8 hours have been permitted by local authority.
Okay. Okay. So when you say 95%, it means the 95% of a regular run rate of a July last year?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of the institutional sales that we do, which is either to and this directly or indirectly, I mean, to real estate as well as, you know, the institutions like hospitals and hotels, etc., would that still be a low 20%-25%?
For this quarter, retail is 75%.
Okay.
Project is 22% because export is 3%.
Okay.
The same period last year, retail was 69%, project was 29%, and export was 2%.
Exports is 2. Okay. So it's also the project sales, which is also taking a hit, right? At least temporarily in the 1Q.
No, no. This is a conscious effort. If you see the commentary of the last many quarters, it's a conscious effort to increase the retail percentage because project prices are negotiated prices. So it's a conscious effort to increase this mix and skew it towards retail.
Sure. But do you see this stabilizing the retail at 75 and project at 22? Do you think this is how it might pan out for the rest of the year?
It all depends on how the replacement market behaves and how quickly the project sites resume normal construction activity.
So you meant, okay, initially, midway you mentioned that the replacement market was far better in terms of demand versus the new sales. So that's also a function. That's also led to this.
And that is increasing. You see, as the market is recovering, this touch-free products was never a huge business for any companies. For Cera, it was 100 SKUs. Now the current demand is 6,000 SKUs a month. And typical faucet at the low end starts at 2,500-3,000. The touchless faucet starts at 9,500-10,000, goes up to 25,000 per piece.
So this touchless trend is more related to faucets, right? Which is picking up, you're saying.
And as far as sanitaryware is concerned, I mean, the best you can do is install either a touchless sensor-based faucet or a, you know, for hospitals, we have this elbow-operated faucet. For factories, we have a foot-operated faucet, which were recent launches.
Okay. And in terms of our marketing or communication, because some of the other building material or you know, including apply companies are, you know, using, virus-free materials and all of that. Is that something also now that we are trying to build in even for tiles and sanitary ware? Is there some separate segment or are you using that commonly for
some products of sanitary ware traditionally had this antimicrobial nano glazing.
Correct.
So we have a robotic glazing arm, which is completely automated, which is again one of the first in the sanitary ware industry. So it closes whatever micro pores there are on the surface of a sanitary ware product. The life is 15 years and it's scratch resistant, bacteria resistant. So those products are slightly more expensive, but they are marketed differently. They have different catalogs. They are sold on completely different themes. Those have become more important. Similarly, even the WC seats has antimicrobial, antibacterial coating on those seats.
So this segment is witnessing better offtake, better demand in the recent months?
Substantially higher offtake and demand. At again, a substantially higher margin.
Okay, got it. And I just have two last...
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind all participants, please limit your question to two per participant. You may rejoin the question queue if you have a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ayush. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, so just a couple of questions. In terms of how is the competitive scenario coming out both from the organized and the semi-organized? A lot of other parallel categories we are hearing semi-organized to get weaker. So if you can just help us understand the layout here.
You see, things have happened globally. Chinese companies, there's a huge anti-China sentiment because of the US trade wars, etc. And then, of course, this episode between China and India as well. So Chinese companies used to send a lot of sanitary ware products to most manufacturers in India. We have always disclosed our Chinese imports number. They were between 4% and 5% of our top line. There are many in our peer group where that number is between 55% and 60%. So those products now will shift to any other countries or to Indian domestic manufacturing vendors. Again, vendors don't have the capabilities of making either wall-mounted WCs or tabletop thin rim sinks or single piece, no joint WCs. These are all capabilities we've created in our factory.
Yep.
So vendors don't have this capability. So vendors in India are quite interested and capable of making mass production of basic items. But their capacity has still not ramped up. So the labor issue and the migration of labor issue for them has been much more severe than organized player. So there is already a capacity constraint for companies who are totally dependent either on vendors or on Chinese. Now, and that's the situation as far as sanitary ware is concerned. Sanitary ware exports, which was always a single digit number for all companies and for Cera, is suddenly becoming very important because there's a whole lot of inquiries from all over the world. Similar trends are also being witnessed in tiles. So for the last 6-8 months, we heard of GE countries imposing anti-dumping duty on Indian tiles, but they were importing from China. All that has stopped. Now Indian tiles and brick tiles manufacturers from Morbi finding huge export markets globally.
Okay. So, hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So, at present, the imports that the competition does is, as far as the Chinese sanitary ware is concerned, it does not attract any import duty. Is that understanding correct?
Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not very clear at times, sir.
Mine?
Yes, sir. Just allow me.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Sir, can I just reconnect you?
Okay, sir.
Requesting participants to please stay online. We are just trying to reconnect the chairperson. Requesting all the participants to please stay online. A reminder to all participants, we
Hello?
Have a line now connected. Over to you, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, Abhishek, I just got one part of your sentence.
Yeah, so Ayush, what I was asking is that sanitary ware, these imports that they do, is there an import duty element to that?
Yes, there is an import duty element.
How much would that be? And is there a risk of that getting increased? Is the kind of, is there a... Is that,
I think, is between 5% and 10%. For us, you know, imports were never a focus area because the products that are majorly imported from these Chinese companies by our competitors or peer group, those were all made in our factories.
Correct.
The peer group may not have had that capability of making these three type of products in their factories, but we have always had that. So. And we have always given out our Chinese import numbers. We have stated it publicly.
Sure.
Now, currently, we find that a lot of our project customers insist on a Made in India certification. So, we provide that not only in our sample pieces, but in our cardboard packaging. And then we are quite happy to additionally provide Made in India certification.
Oh, okay.
That is a trend we are seeing.
And is there any pricing this thing that that is happening at the marketplace in terms of any decline, increase, anything that you are seeing given short supply and imports not happening? Any kind of pricing trend that is happening in sanitary ware and faucets?
We are seeing strong demand, especially after the end of the first quarter, because the vendor base is still not alive and fully operational.
Hmm.
So we are seeing. Scramble by manufacturers to try and secure their supply chains.
Would that mean some pricing increase that could happen in the system for all the players?
We took a last price increase in May 2019 of 3 to 5%, mm-hmm. and we are planning to take one in this month of 3 to 5% across sanitary ware products.
Sure.
And this is in an environment where zirconium has declined by 10%, zinc has declined by 10%, clay has declined by 5%, and in faucet where brass prices have declined by 10%. So again, in faucet where we are the only company to have never used any brass scrap, we only use brass ingots. And brass price, the faucet ware pricing is little more dynamic than sanitary ware pricing and mirrors brass pricing.
Now, just one last question from my side. Last year, we had another expense of almost about 300 odd crores. Given the initiatives that you spoke about, lesser power and fuel, lesser rental, and also some cost rationalization, what can be the percentage increase on a very, so now you have broadly come to that 95% of last year's sales level. So assuming similar sales, what can that other expenses as a percentage look lower because of the initiatives?
See, on fixed cost, we've negotiated rentals down by 10 crores.
Mm.
Then I can give you some color on power and fuel. Our weighted average cost of gas was 22.58 last year.
Mm.
That same weighted average for Q1 was 12.48.
Oh, okay.
And for the same quarter last year was 21.09.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Kiria Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Ayush, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just one question. Since we have faced a lot of problem post-COVID situation in India, do you see the worst is behind us and we should improve from here?
Well, that is the expectation, that is the reality on the ground, that is the empirical data on a month-by-month basis. And you see, all this is a flight to quality. Investors are flying to quality. Consumers are flying to quality. Employees are flying to quality. So the flight to quality, consolidation, all that is happening. Now, to give you an example, our CRISIL has reiterated our A1 Play Plus rating for our CP program in December 2019. As bulk of the slowdown had already kicked in. CARE in July 2019 gave us a AA rating. Those ratings are completely unchanged. We have never used the rating because we have zero long-term debt. We have lines of about 40 crores of working capital. We use 10, 12, 15 crores for a few months in the year. We have 268 crores of cash and cash equivalent. So to those investors who always ask what we plan on doing with cash, we always said that the company traditionally has been very financially conservative, and now all the same investors come and tell us that that has been the correct strategy, because in our peer group, there are companies with very high levels of debt.
Right.
Very, very high levels of debt. And there are also companies with have good operational parameters, but very high levels of capex. And as a result, zero cash flow at the end of the year.
Right. So, do we see recovery broad-based in all three segments, or do you think there is lag in recovering any of these?
We are expecting not only an increase in demand, and that is bought out by the empirical data of July, but we are also seeing, after many years, a shortage of supply. Because all national and international brands depend on a vendor base. This vendor base has not been able to get its act together in terms of reaching the required requisite capacity utilization.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just one question from my end. Sir, you mentioned about the competitive intensity in sanitary ware. If you could just throw some light on the tiles as well, given you mentioned on in your opening remarks about the possible, you know, increasing bargaining power for, you know, organized tiles players.
Yeah, we keep hearing about 800 to 900 plants in Morbi. Now, what we hear is only 50 to 60% of those plants are currently operational at a capacity utilization of 60%. That has never been the case in the last 5 to 10 years. And at the same time, because of this anti-Chinese sentiment globally, generic tiles manufacturers never found such a large opening of markets and availability of customers globally. As far as tiles companies is concerned, there are just 10 to 12, a maximum of 15 national brands which compete for large project orders. So when Cera competes, they are competing with the top 5 to 10 tiles companies for individual orders. Their price discounting does not go down beyond a certain level. That gives us the confidence that tiles, which had become very generic and very price driven, is now changing. That within tiles, Cera has launched slabs and larger value and larger size products where the pricing and margin profile is completely different. And third, the entire industry has moved to GVT. So soluble salt is less than 10-12% of Cera's sales, and GVT has now become the industry standard. These are the developments which gives us the confidence for the tiles industry.
Okay, so just one question from my end on this. So have we just seen some sort of initial price hikes that you guys have taken here, or has the blended realization because of mix improved for you guys at least in July?
With tiles, there is currently a consolidation in the vendor base, and that process is currently on. What we are pushing is a higher percentage of sales of GVT. That is our focus. So GVT for us is 23-25% of sales, and double charged wall tiles, paving tiles is altogether 86% of sales. Soluble salt this quarter is only 14% of sales. The same number for 12 months of last year was 18%.
Thanks, sir. This was helpful. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav Shaw from QRC Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Saurav Shaw, you may please go ahead with your question, sir.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
You hear me now? Hello?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Sorry. Thanks for taking my question. Maybe elaborate a little bit on our distribution between tier 1, 2, 3, how that has maybe evolved over the last couple of years as we have tried to move, like you said, to tier 3, and what the plan is there going ahead. And then I'll ask my next question.
The first is, of course, there is always a sales concentration with high-value dealers. So I'll give you a statistic. Our top 100 dealers constitute 23% of sales in this quarter. And top 500 constitute 79% of sales. Now I'll give you another statistic. As on June 20, we had 3631 dealers. That same number in June 19 was 3086 dealers. And another statistic that might interest you is 22% of dealers have been added in the last 5 years, which bring in 10% additional sales. So dealer concentration will always be there. These top 500 dealers have been the ones to invest in infrastructure, whether it's showrooms, salespeople, three-wheelers, four-wheelers. They have established lines of credit with banks. They have the ability to provide credit to their consumers. They share some of their margins with their consumers. In Cera's case, because of the deep inroads in tier 3 markets, we have dealers who are doing between 5 and 10 crore sales in very small places like Nagpur, Kolhapur, and many other tier 3 towns. And that we feel is the avenue for growth, because that is the place where MNCs are not present and their entire focus is on tier 1 markets and large projects of national builders in luxury markets. MNCs also compete amongst themselves for these luxury projects and undercut price to such an extent that it doesn't make sense for them, but for them it's an India entry strategy. So we don't want to participate in that battle of attrition. Hence, our strategy traditionally has been tier 3 markets, and you can see that in the numbers as a percentage of sales and on all parameters.
Sure. This question should, I guess, that should continue.
Mr. Shroff, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not clearly audible, sir. We proceed to the next question. This is the last question from the line of Akhil Kuluri from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Hi, Ayush. A couple of questions. So first, on the demand again, you indicated that July was at 95% of last year's sales levels. That's quite positive. What I wanted to understand was more qualitatively based on your interactions with, say, dealers or builders. How much of this do you think could be pent-up demand to gauge the sustainability of the recovery?
The pent-up demand, we are not really calling it pent-up demand because construction activity in April and May was completely halted. Even in June, except the national developers and national EPC companies like a Shapurji or a L&T, we see sites in tier 1 markets still not fully recovered. So national developers, let's say a Mahindra or a L&T, have the resources, capability and the manpower resources to restart their sites. But the other end of sites restarting is all in tier 3 markets.
Right.
So that, we won't call that pent-up demand, we'll just call that a race for project completion.
Sure. Sure. But in say some of these tier 3 markets, while there is this race for project completion which is happening at this point, can you throw some light on new project starts, on new housing starts as well, which would probably be critical from maybe a 6 to 9 months perspective in terms of how demand plays out?
In any case, 70% of the WIP in real estate is affordable housing.
Right.
Now, we are getting a lot of data that even during the pandemic, apartments in affordable housing were being sold. And given that these are all interest rate sensitive sectors, home loans are at 6.85, 6.95, which is the lowest they've been in 20 years. Affordable housing projects, the velocity is coming back. So any project that is 6 months away from completion, which will therefore be eligible for GST exemption and these home loan rates sub 7, we are seeing velocity. And our role only kicks in once these projects are 6 months away from completion. So that's the data we track. There we are not finding as much of an issue in sales.
Fair enough. Fair point. The second bit was on the pricing and margin front. You indicated that there have been cost reductions and with sales momentum almost back to last year's levels, there could be some margin boost as well, right, going forward. In such an environment, just wanted to understand your thought process on thinking about the price hike instead of maybe just offering higher discount to dealers, maybe certain better working capital terms, given the strength of our balance sheet, right? Just to gain market share. How are you evaluating the pros and cons of the two?
We have traditionally, you know the company, you know the philosophy behind conservative financial management and the receivable days.
Yes.
So I'll give you that number. Receivable days as on June 20th was 51.36 days versus 56.78 days last year. And ex-tiles, that number was 39.80 days versus 39.31 days. This is against the lowest in the industry. We have seen too many instances of companies trying to pump prime their sales by offering additional credit. So we just want to steer clear of those experiments. You know, we have seen just too many cases where things have not worked out for anybody.
No, that's fair, Ayush, and that's commendable. But even just in terms of the pricing as well, I think getting one of the participants' earlier questions, you highlighted you're thinking of a 3 to 5% price increase, given how things are at this point. So, I just wanted to understand. So, do you think by probably offering higher discounts to dealers, higher incentives, can we gain market share at this point instead of thinking about a price hike?
See, if gaining market share is the objective, and that is always the objective, then new product introductions is the way to go. And differentiating your own product with a peer group product in terms of technology. And that, a bulk of our efforts are engaged in that direction. In fact, we have always been tinkering with the dealer lending price. So even during this period, we have been tinkering with this FY 2021 dealer lending price, and we are trying to increase the dealer lending price and the MRP. And dealers have welcomed the move. Normally, you would find the trade resisting such a move because we are offering them newer products, more SKUs. So they are quite happy to allow the company to tinker or increase the dealer lending price.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Cera is optimistic that its strong positioning in the industry and improving macros will help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. With this, I hope I have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join the call, and see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.